Welcome to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
All right, it's good to see everyone this evening, and we will be continuing our study from Galatians 2 of Paul Confronts Peter, and this is Paul Confronts Peter, Part 2. So this morning, we got down through verse 14, and Paul's speech that he makes to Peter while they're sitting there eating supper continues on down through the end of the chapter, and so we're going to study that this evening. So we'll go back to verse 14 and start there, just to recap. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So basically, he's just saying to Peter, you're being a hypocrite. You're acting like a hypocrite. If you'll remember the story from this morning, Peter had come to Antioch to visit the church. Paul was based out of the church at Antioch, and there were a bunch of Gentile converts at Antioch, and Peter would sit down at the meals they had and eat with the Gentile converts, even though he was a Jew. And some people came from James that came to visit who taught a false gospel, and these people taught that you had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be saved and to be right with God, and so these people that came from James were apparently very influential in the church at Jerusalem, in certain parts of that church, and Peter was scared of them, so Peter quit eating with the Gentiles and went over to the Jewish table and ate with the Jews and wouldn't have anything to do with the Gentiles. And so Paul gets fed up with it, and so he stands up and confronts Peter, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, so he does this publicly, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? In other words, you don't live like a Jew, you don't obey these rules, and so why are you acting like you live that way and trying to tell the Gentiles that they have to live that way so that you can impress these people that came from James? And that's just hypocrisy, but we see that happen in the church. Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now what Paul is saying there is, Paul is a Jew and Peter is a Jew, and he says, we, so Paul's including himself, who are Jews by nature. We are born Jews. We were trained to be Jews. We were taught Jewish customs. But the important thing is we're sinners, just like the Gentiles. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, we are sinners of the Jews. We are still sinners. And that's kind of the point he's making. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, Paul has just said, look, we're not Gentiles, we're Jews, but we're still sinners. We're not their kind of sinner, we're our kind of sinner. And does it really matter what kind of a sinner you are? I mean, the truth is, there's church-going sinners and there's non-church-going sinners. There's different kinds of sins, but everybody's a sinner before God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, in 2:16 of Galatians, Paul says, knowing, he says, Peter, you know this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we Jews, have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So he says, by the works of the law, nobody will be declared righteous. That's what it means to be justified, to be declared righteous in the sight of God. Nobody will be declared righteous in the sight of God by the works of the law. And so he's basically just saying to Peter, Peter, you're eating with these people and acting like you believe what they believe. And that is that people have to keep the law to be saved, but you know good and well that no one is justified by keeping the law. Nobody's saved by keeping the law. We are justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, verse 17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Now keep in mind that Paul is giving this speech in front of, they're probably seated at dinner, and he stands up and gives this rebuke to Peter in front of them all. So he's got all these Jewish, these people that came from James are sitting there with Peter. So no doubt Paul was like an attorney. So he was excellent at arguing points. And Paul would create imaginary opponents and he would argue against them. In this case, he's arguing against what he believes these people's objections would be. So notice what he says here. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. In other words, we are seeking to be justified, to be declared righteous by Christ, by faith. That's what we're doing. But while we do that, we are going to be found as sinners. We're going to sin while we do that. In other words, everybody knows that. You believe in Christ, but that doesn't mean you're not going to sin, right? All of us sin. Okay? So if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we are also found sinners. And the Jewish teachers, the Jewish people who were sitting with Peter would have looked at Paul and said, well, if you just can believe in Christ and you're justified and you don't have to keep the works of the law and the Jewish ceremonies and all those things, then when you sin, why are you sinning? Why are you sinning? And they would think because you're not keeping the works of the law. You're not obeying our ceremonies, our rules. That's why you're sinning. And they say, so if you want to take the law out of it and just rely on Christ and what he did, not have the law, then you're making Christ into a minister of sin. You're making him be somebody who causes you to sin. But indeed, Paul says to that, God forbid. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Obviously, Christ is not the minister of sin, nor is he the minister of the law, but he is the minister of grace and truth and righteousness and faith. And that's the kind of minister that Jesus Christ is. And so, but you understand that this argument is an argument that's made in churches all the time. And that is, if you don't add a certain set of rules to your faith in Jesus Christ, then you will fall into sin and you won't be able to live for Christ. And so people have made up all kinds of man-made rules that aren't in the Bible, and they teach these systems of rules, and if you keep these rules, then you'll be right with God. I've heard a very well-known preacher who's now with the Lord, and one of my favorite preachers, in fact, but I've heard him make the statement that if a person gets saved and baptized and comes to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and reads their Bible and goes soul winning, they're gonna be right with God. They're not really gonna fall into sin if they do those things. Now, where did he get that from? Certainly not the Bible. It's just a man-made set of rules that if you come to this service, and this service, and you go out soul winning with the church's soul winning program, and you do this and that, that will make you stay right with God. Obviously, that doesn't make you stay right with God. You've got to have a personal walk with God, and every Christian is going to struggle with sin and all those kind of things. But the thing is, they want to introduce rules man-made rules to make people right with God. And I'm trying to think of another example. I've also heard this. I've heard people say you don't have to, you're not saved by doing these things, these rules, keeping our rules. You're not saved by doing these things. But if you are saved, you will want to keep our rules. And they're still man-made rules. That's the problem. Like people say, well, you don't have to listen to, let's pull something out of the air, like Southern gospel music. Now, I myself don't like Southern gospel, but many of you may. So let's pull that out of the air. Somebody says, you don't have to listen to Southern gospel to be saved, but if you are saved, you will want to listen to Southern gospel music. See, that's a man-made rule. But that's the kind of things that people say. People say, well, if you're saved, you'll dress this way and you'll listen to our music and you'll go to all three services and you'll do this and you'll do that if you're really saved. And it's just a set of man-made rules. And so this is basically what these Jewish teachers were saying. They were saying, now circumcision came from the Bible and some of the things they were teaching came from the Old Testament law, but they also had all these other rules added to it, and they had formed their own religion, their own religious system. And so they are saying here that if you seek to be justified by Christ and you sin, then the reason you're sinning is because you're not adding the law and circumcision and our rules to your faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, your Christ has become the minister of sin to you because you won't add our rules. And so Paul says, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? If while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Then he makes this statement in verse 18. I spent a lot of time on that verse because that verse is kind of complex. And verse 18 says this. This is another complex verse. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, Paul is saying this. Paul is saying, I was under the law. I kept all these rules. I was a Pharisee. I got saved, and now I'm going around destroying this system and telling the Gentiles, you just believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and you don't have to become a Jew. You don't have to keep all these Jewish rules. So he's destroying this system. And so he says, if I were to turn back to that system and say, I'm going to keep that system again, then I would be building back the things that I've torn down. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, and then he says, I would make myself a transgressor. Paul himself didn't keep the law. Peter didn't keep the law. And if Peter sitting there with these Jews, if he builds again the things that he's torn down, then he's going to become a transgressor because he doesn't keep their rules. And just to explain this further, because sometimes I give explanations and they're clear as mud, so I'm going to read you an explanation from David Guzik, who is a Bible commentator now with the Lord, and this is what he says about this verse. How is it a sin to build again a way to God through the law of Moses? In many ways, but perhaps the greatest, is that it looks at Jesus hanging on the cross, taking the punishment we deserved, bearing the wrath of God for us, and says to him, that's all very nice, but it isn't enough. Your work on the cross won't be good enough before God until I'm circumcised and I eat kosher, or I eat the special Jewish foods. What an insult to the Son of God. So he says that's how he's building again. That's what he's saying there when he says, if I build again the things that I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. Now, verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now, this is a great verse. I, through the law, am dead to the law. Now, how was it that Paul found out that he was a sinner in the first place? Through the law. Paul said, if it hadn't been for the law, saying, thou shalt not covet, then I would not have known that I was coveting. But the law showed me that I was a sinner, and Paul even says, because I was a sinner, the law, which was good and righteous and holy, when it met up with me, a sinner, I actually reacted to the law by sinning more. And so, Paul says, I, through the law, am dead to the law. Now, what happened? The law showed Paul he was a sinner, but the Bible says, and Paul wrote, the law is a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. So the law showed Paul he was a sinner, and the law, the more he tried to keep it, the more he found he could not keep it, and the law stirred up sin in him, and therefore that led him to come face to face with his need for righteousness somewhere else, which was through Jesus Christ. So through the law, Paul, by coming to Jesus Christ and being saved, he became dead to the law. A simple illustration of that. If I am driving down the road in a 40 mile per hour zone at 100 miles per hour, this isn't a perfect illustration of this, but at any rate, it shows you how you'd be dead to the law. I'm breaking the law. Perhaps when I see the speed limit sign, this will be better. Perhaps when I see the 40 mile per hour sign, my sin nature says, I will not go 40 miles an hour. I am going to go 80 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour. So I react to the law by breaking the law. And because the road is made for 40 miles per hour, not 100 miles per hour, I end up wrecking and killing myself. So at that point, I, through the law, which I reacted to by saying I'm not going to obey that, and I drove really fast along this road that's made for 40 miles per hour, and I drove 100, I have now wrecked and become dead. And I, once I'm dead, that law no longer has any effect on me. Why? Because I'm not going to be driving a car after I'm dead. All right? So the law no longer has an effect on me. Now, Paul, when he gets saved, when the law led him to Christ, when the law was the schoolmaster that led him to Christ, Paul, we've given the illustration here before about baptism. Paul was baptized by the Holy Spirit, placed into the body of Christ the moment he believed in Christ. That's not the same thing as water baptism. It's spirit baptism. It happens when you get saved. Paul was placed into the body of Christ, and he becomes dead to the law. He becomes dead to sin and to the law and to all those things because he's separated from them. They no longer can have dominion over him. They no longer rule over him. So I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live unto God. By the way, the law is not made to make us righteous. The law is made to show us that we're sinners to lead us to Christ. Lester Roloff, used to preach a message called Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. And he would say, I went to Dr. Law. And I said, Dr. Law, something's wrong with me. And Dr. Law said, well, you've done this, this, and this, and you've sinned. And I said, well, what can you give me to fix me? And Dr. Law said, oh, I don't fix people. I just diagnose. He said, you'll have to go down the hall and see my associate, Dr. Grace. So I went down the hall and saw Dr. Grace, and Dr. Grace told me about Jesus, and I got the sin problem fixed. So Dr. Law does not fix you. He just diagnoses your problem. Dr. Grace fixes you. And so I, through the law, was he doesn't say this, but what he's implying is through the law, he came to Jesus Christ and he became dead to the law, separated from it, not under its dominion anymore, that I might live unto God. Now, he's explaining here why he lives the Christian life and why people that get saved by faith in Christ live the Christian life. When you're dead to the law, it doesn't mean that you don't live right anymore. It means that you are free to live for Jesus Christ. And that's important. I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live unto God. The Judaizers, the false teachers that had come from James, were teaching that you had to keep the law to be saved and to live right. And Paul is saying, no, it's not that way. I, through the law, am dead to the law, but the fact that I'm dead to the law doesn't mean that I won't live right. The fact that I'm dead to the law means that I'm free from the bondage of the law so that I might live unto God. And really, the way that you live right is when you have freedom to choose and the power of the Holy Spirit to help you live right. So I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live unto God. Galatians 2:20. This is a wonderful verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, this is a lot of people's life verse, but it's a tremendous verse. Paul said, when Jesus died on the cross, I died with him. I am crucified with Christ. That's true for every person here. When Jesus died on the cross, it was as if you had died. You died with him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm not dead. I'm alive. Yet, it's not me, but it's Christ living in me. How do you live the Christian life? You don't live it in your own power, but you live it by Christ living in you. And Christ lives in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and he empowers you to live the Christian life. So how do I live the Christian life? Not by keeping a set of rules, but by tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ inside of me, and Jesus Christ inside of me causes me and helps me to live the Christian life. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. By the way, how do you live the Christian life? You live it by faith. By faith. By faith. You understand the big difference here? The difference is, on one side, you've got the religious system that says, keep this rule, this rule, this rule, this rule, and you'll be right with God. And on the other side, you have Jesus Christ. That's what you've got. On this side, you have, keep these rules. We've got these rules for you. If you keep these rules, you know, if you come to church, and you wear a suit, and you wear a tie, and you wear a white shirt, and you look right, and you do what you're supposed to do, and you don't cuss, and don't chew, and don't do this and that and the other thing. If you keep these rules, then you'll be right with God. And on the other side, you have Jesus. Which one will help you to live right? This or Jesus? Jesus. Jesus will. And so, and by the way, you will live right if you're living by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. And Paul concludes by saying, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, if righteousness could come by keeping the law, then Jesus Christ had no reason to die. People could be saved by keeping the law. But they can't be. Righteousness doesn't come by the law, and that's why you need Jesus to die, and that's why you need the grace of God. Now, incidentally, The word frustrate, according to Bill Mounts, who is a Greek teacher, means to displace, to set aside, to abrogate, to annul, to violate, to swerve from, to reject, to condemn, to nullify, to reject, to set aside. So, in other words, Paul is saying, I do not set aside the grace of God. I will not annul the grace of God. I will not reject the grace of God and turn to the law. I will not do that. I do not frustrate. I do not reject the grace of God. For if righteousness could come by the law, by keeping the commandments, by keeping your rules, by doing what you Judaizers say we're supposed to do, if righteousness could come by that, then there was no reason for Jesus Christ to die on the cross. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I'm going to close with this quote from Martin Luther, which sums up what Paul was saying and what the false teachers, the Jewish teachers, were saying. Luther says this, "What are these false apostles doing? Paul cries they are turning law into grace and grace into law. They are changing Moses into Christ and Christ into Moses by teaching that besides Christ and his righteousness, the performance of the law is necessary unto salvation. They put the law in the place of Christ. They attribute to the law the power to save, a power that belongs to Christ only." And so, we don't want to frustrate the grace of God. We want to just stick with grace. And that's what we're going to do here in our church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this place. Please help us to, by faith, to read our Bibles and to do what the Bible says do, and not to be caught up in thinking that if we do a certain number of man-made rules and keep a certain number of things that we're right with you. But help us to just let Jesus Christ live his life through us by faith. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to live the Christian life in grace. Help us to enjoy fellowship with you and to enjoy the Christian life. And I pray that you would bless us this week as we go out from this place, and help us to love you and serve you because you love us. Help us to preach the pure and true gospel. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Visit us on the web at thenationsforchrist.com and harmonybconline.com.